Because he was, when he died, deeply unfashionable. King James I had no truck with Dee and his like, and Dee found himself impoverished, rejected from court. He was in Manchester for a while, not to in any way suggest that that's any kind of exile. But he himself felt that he was rejected by court at this point, and he certainly seemed to fall into some sort of destitution. We'll hear it. A bit about that in a minute, in the piece I'm about to read. One of the main figures who cropped up a little later in the 17th century to try and find out about this extraordinary character was a wonderful chap called Elias Ashmole, who some of you might have heard of. If you haven't, you might have heard of the Ashmolean Museum in Oxford. That's named after him, and that was originally built out of the collection that he made. He was one of the great early antiquarians, one of the great collectors. And it's thanks to him, and a few others, that Dee survives in our memories, that Dee's papers survive in the Bodleian Library. It's one of the most wonderful collections you can imagine. I have to say, one of the most exciting things about researching the Dee book was going up to the Duke Humphrey's Library, which is a fabulous library in the Bodleian, with wonderful beamed roof and little nooks where you can go and study books. Huge, great volumes in front of you, laid out in front of you, great chains to the shelves, obviously indicating that the students of Oxford have always been a bit like bigger than the library. And to open up all the volumes of the Ashmole collection, it's absolutely wonderful because you get letters, horoscopes in the case of Dee, legal documents, all sorts of material that takes you right back into the period that you're studying. It's a very exciting thing. And it was Elias Ashmole who collected these papers, and it's thanks to him that they're still there. And I mentioned him because I'm going to read from a letter that he, in fact, it's a note that he wrote about his early investigation into Dr. Dee. And he did it partly because he was involved in trying to find out these early on in his life as an antiquarian, with John Aubrey, as we have mentioned. Now, Aubrey, with all due respect to his new neighbour, was not the most reliable of historians. He tended to make up quite a lot of stories, that's not to put too fine a point on it. And Ashmole was a little bit more, thorough in his research, a little bit more reliable in what he reported. And but Aubrey was the first on the scene, so to speak, after Dee's death, to try and gather up stories about this extraordinary character. But Elias came down soon after and decided to conduct some of his own investigations. And this is the document, this is my transcription of the document in the Ashmole collection in the Bodleian Library that he recorded. Setting down what happened when he came here. So, he describes it first, the notes that he's put down, as the effect and substance of some discourses I, Elias Ashmole, had with goodwife Faldo, now living at Mortlake, who was 12 years old when Queen Elizabeth died. She knew Dr. Dee well, and her mother dwelt near him in the same town. So right in the middle of the town, this is in 1673, I should say, meeting this elderly lady, she's in her 80s by this stage, who has this memory, this sparkling, vivid memory of Dr. Dee. He then reports, this is in a slightly haphazard order, so I hope you'll excuse me, he then reports some of the things he started to find out from her and from his visit. Dr. Dee dwelt in a house near the waterside, a little westward from the church, so we all know that. Somewhere over there. The buildings which Sir Francis Crane erected for working with tapestry hangings and are still employed to that use were built upon the ground whereon Dr. Dee's laboratory and other rooms for that use stood. So, Dee's house, somewhere over there, he added lots of outhouses, buildings, and things like that for his extraordinary experiments. And these were subsequently taken over when Dee fell out of fashion, and indeed his house was ransacked for many of its goods. They were subsequently taken over by the tapestry works, which